Welcome everyone to another episode of Stadium Cast, where we take you inside the competitive world of Pokemon Go. My name is AJ, and with me today is John, aka JR Honda, aka Mr. Business, aka my friend, the borderline illiterate person from Alabama. Say hello, John.
Well, howdy, y'all.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about the reboot of the podcast. It's fairly obvious that we've been on a hiatus for the last couple months, but we're really looking forward to what's in store within the next few weeks, how we're going to be rolling this project in the coming weeks. We'll talk about current events. There's a lot going on, even with the craziness that is COVID-19. We'll talk a little bit about the Genesect event, the St. Louis Safari Makeup, and more. Along with the Ultra League GBL prep that's right around the corner. We'll be getting that very soon, so we want to make sure everyone's ready to prepare for their Ultra League teams. And we'll wrap up with some Sylph Voyager Cup highlights. So straight into this reboot, I think it's fair to say, in summary, you killed this podcast project.
I killed it?
Definitely.
Oh, we're going to go there right off the bat, huh?
Right off the bat, yeah.
I mean,
it was going fairly well. A lot of complaints about the noise, but overall, content scheduled. And John basically said, "It can't go on like this unless I'm involved specifically. Then it can't happen." And well, the proof is in the pudding. You're on the episodes now. So.
Yeah, I'm a very prideful person. I wanted to make sure that my name was all over this before I let it do anything. Someone just didn't understand sound quality.
True.
I don't know who that was. I mean, nobody will ever know, you know, who jacked that up royally. But why don't you tell them kind of what we're going to be talking about on this podcast and what we're trying to do with this.
So the idea has always been to have sort of casual conversation about all things related to Pokemon Go PvP. We're aiming for a weekly podcast featuring battlers, content creators, talking about the different metas. We'll definitely talk about Go Battle League, Sylph Cup metas, changes to our cliffhanger format, and just how to prepare battle teams with current events. Also, I'm excited for the very long new music intro that we have. seems like every time we listen to it, it doubles in length. I'm not sure what the viewers are going to hear once this is all chopped and spliced up, but yesterday we were recording this, and it was about half as long as it was today. I was able to hear a whole new version of this song.
Yeah.
Is that even the whole thing?
No, it's not the whole thing. The whole intro song is about 5 minutes long. If you ever want to know the whole intro song or the artist, Tony Lees, you can check that out in the show notes. Very, very talented artist who actually loves Pokemon. They did some funny drawings a while back, reminded me of Choostmaster's drawings on Twitter. So, but very, very talented artists. They do produce our intro and outro music. So thank you to them. Also wanted to talk about, you know, we're talking about doing this podcast, but we're not the only podcast out there. I do want to say thank you to probably, I would say, the pioneers of the Pokemon Go podcasting, the guys over at Pokemon Professor Network. So Ken and his team over there. So we really appreciate just what they've done to kind of inspire us, really, to do this podcast. You know, it is our own thing. You know, I don't know after they listen to this if they would even want to be affiliated with us. But
We tend to have that effect.
Yeah.
If we have a microphone in front of us for too long, or even a keyboard for that matter.
Yeah.
That ends too. Up blowing up in our face. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. There's some other PvP podcasts that I started listening to a while back. I know things have been pretty hectic lately, but I know especially our good friend Gemma Banks up in the Great North, Mr. Canadian, yeah, you betcha. Our PvP podcast, great listen. Look that up. He's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, a couple different options there. And then Zionic, our the traitor American that went to the UK. him and KLTD Cody have a podcast, the Competitive Edge. So I know they produce some content every once in a while. So, but yeah, we're happy to jump into space and kind of just see what we can do. AJ and I kind of have a bit of a tit and tat style about our conversation. So
yeah,
we'll see how
tat.
That.
More tat than tit.
Well,
for sure.
So we'll see how that goes, you know, as this goes on. So we're going to take, we're new to this thing. So I know we're only like 6-7 minutes in, but we already need a break. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and start talking about the current events and kind of go through all of those things. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We are going to be talking about some of the current events that are going on in Pokemon Go right now. AJ, why don't you take it away and let's talk about this Genesect research that just came out and it's kind of still ongoing.
At the time of this recording, yeah, a drive to investigate event at the sort of climax of this special research quest, you can acquire a Genesect that is eligible for Great League. One of the other rewards is you can also acquire a Durant, which is the first time it's been available worldwide. It was up until this point. It is still region locked, but now you can get it through this quest behind the paywall. And I guess we have also briefly, we'll talk a little bit about Ninjask and the viability of this event. Have you gotten your Genesect yet from this quest?
I did. It was crap.
Yeah? Crap as in, like, for PvP?
I mean, it was middle of the road. I want to say it was, like, 11, 13, 13 or something like that. So,
better than mine. Mine is actually at 96%, like, just stats-wise. But yeah. Looking it up right now, it's something like 94.5 product. It's a 14, 15, 14, but it maxes out at something like 1475 for Great League, which is, to say the least, less than ideal.
Yeah.
But Genesect is interesting, not so much because of the moves or the typing, because it does sort of mirror Scizor's place in the meta, which is not very meta, to be honest, but it is the sort of drives abilities that it used to have, well, it had in the main series games. So how they decide to implement that moving forward is what's going to be interesting. The Genesect in this research quest happens to be the normal type, which has Hyper Beam, right?
Yeah. I'm actually very shocked they did not give it some form of hidden power or weather ball type move to be able to get a bunch of different types in there, or give it some sort of move pool like Mew or something like that. Just because of the way it was used in the main series games, you could basically make it fill whatever role you wanted to. But I mean, it still has some pretty spammy charge moves. I mean, if you want to use it. unfortunately Sylph banned it for the Voyager Cup.
And Toxic, I think, as well, right?
Did they ban it for Toxic?
I think it was for Toxic. I'm not sure about Voyager, but it's possible that it was as well. Yeah. Fury Cutter, just like Scizor, Scizor as well. And then as the only difference between, I suppose, the traditional set, I mean, Scizor can run Night Slash or Iron Head, and this one tends to run Magnet Bomb because Hyper Beam seems not great, generally speaking, but it could potentially be a really hard-hitting move. Stats, not so interesting. It's kind of a glass cannon. That double weak to fire, very very much attack weighted. So I don't think it's going to be doing many ripples into the meta until potentially, further down the road where you get more moves or more typings associated to it.
What do you think about Durant? I know I was fortunate enough to get one traded to me by a friend that travels, a lawyer friend of mine that traveled overseas recently. Brought some back for me, but it was and that one was still Great League eligible, but I've still just not been, I guess, in a place where I thought it could be used very well in a given meta. But you know, what kind of place does it serve right now in the world of just Great League as a whole, and then the Toxic and Voyager Cups?
Yeah, I think Durant is going to be a little bit more interesting. It's a little bit less bulky than Beedrill. Normally, you don't think of Beedrill as a very bulky Pokemon, but Durant is somewhat on the attack weighted side. Bug Bite is a decent move, especially for its attack stat. It's going to rely a lot on that Bug Bite damage. X Scissor is a great move for a low energy generating move like Bug Bite. And then it also has Iron Head, but I think most people are going to be running Stone Edge simply because it's going to be a really good coverage move against its likely counters. And I think as a bug type, it's the only, I want to say it's the only bug type that learns Stone Edge, but I'd have to look that specific one up. And Stone Edge is just a great move, generally speaking.
Yeah, if you guys know of any other bug types that learn Stone Edge, let us know. I didn't even know that Durant learned Stone Edge. That's pretty interesting. I guess it's really good to be able to hit back against the flyers that would be coming at you, and even the fire types as well.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that really comes close, I mean, Shuckle technically is a bug type that learns Stone Edge, but it's not really near eligible. Although you're not supposed to fuckle with Shuckle, it's generally just not good in Great League. You're just going to lose using it, or pretty much any league for that matter.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's not a bug type, obviously, but Cradily with Stone Edge has been able to be sort of a niche tech choice because of that ability to take neutral from flying and also be a grass type, so do a little bit of jack of all trades type coverage.
I'm looking at the notes here, and you have something about Ninjask viability. Are you insane? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so Ninjask is also somewhat interesting. When you think of bulky Pokemon, you don't think of Masquerain. Masquerain is very much not on the bulky side, and also its typing isn't really doing it any favors. There's nothing quite as frustrating as being a Masquerain user up against something like a Bastiodon, taking that double super effective from rock type moves. But Ninjask is even more attack weighted. It has access to Fury Cutter, which is a very high energy generating fast move, and it has Shadow Ball. And it also has Bug Buzz. So a stab, Bug Buzz, and Shadow Ball for coverage might be interesting in a future Sylph Cup where bug flying is a favored type. That being said, I don't think we're going to be seeing Ninjask outside of like a Jim Korn team anytime soon in Go Battle League.
Mr. Spice himself.
Mr. Spice himself, yeah.
I know I used Ninjask a good bit in the main series games because of speed boost, but we all know speed doesn't really exist in Pokemon Go yet. I don't know that it ever will, but, you know, that was the big thing about Ninjask is, I mean, anything you did, it got speed boost every turn. So,
yeah,
it was really nice to use. Ninjask
is just, the speed stat is baked into the CP formula as attack.
Right.
So Ninjask would potentially win charge move priority in certain situations, but
yeah.
By no means is it a great pick. You don't have to hoard that many Nincada, and Shedinja is not part of this event. There's no way to acquire one outside of the...
A buddy of mine, he's real big on the Lucky Dex, and he texted, but he's also not very... he never played the main series games or anything, but he's really big into Pokemon Go, and he was like, I keep trying to evolve a Nincada, my lucky Nincada, into Ninjask, and it won't work, or into Shedinja, and it won't work. I'm like, yeah, that's not possible. So,
yeah.
But anyway, speaking of bugs flying around, what do you think about how the game's been affected to this COVID-19 mess?
That was a smooth transition, actually.
Well, you know, I do what I can. So,
You know, I think the initial response, I was one of the people that was a bit frustrated. The initial PR felt a little bit uncoordinated, because on one hand they were canceling Safari Zone events or postponing them in the near future, but on the other they were promoting raids and raid hour and things like that that by definition are supposed to encourage people to congregate. So that was a bit frustrating, but I think they've largely turned it around. I think with the incense and Pokeball box, the souped up incense mechanics, just generally canceling events or making them doable from home and removing the walking distance from Go Battle League, I think all of those have been steps in the right direction. And largely I'm pretty happy with the direction they took.
Yeah, I think I you know, tend to agree with that stance. You know, it was kind of weird that they were postponing events, but then they were promoting in-game events that were kind of the same thing. But at the same time, you know, hindsight is 2020. You look back at initially they thought that there was a lot of stuff, you know, it was limited to people that were traveling. So as long as you mitigate your travel and mitigate people, you know, congregating from all over, you could mitigate the exposure. But then, you know, we truly got more information, more people realized that in order to flatten the curve, we needed to implement some social distancing. So I think they reacted okay, and they took the necessary steps. I think they've done a lot of good things, especially over the past few weeks, to make the game still enjoyable for those that are, you know, working from home or even on lockdown. You know, there's been several stay-at-home orders issued for several states here in the U.S. And, you know, our friends over in Italy, Elisa and Raging Taz and Ricky, and those people have been going through this for a while now. And we know it's been rough for them, and we wish them the best. But we're glad that Niantic has done some of these things to kind of help the player base to do those things. So if you had to give a suggestion, other than, you know, anything in hindsight, what is something they can do in the future to kind of help as we continue to go through this? Is there anything missing, you think, that needs to be added or incorporated?
I think the 100 Pokeballs is okay, but it's not really enough for anybody that plays any significant amount of time. It ends up being, 100 Pokeballs a week is not really enough to keep up the pace, right? So if there is a way to sort of work one of those special research quests or something that could make you progress, in combination with your buddy or something like that, where you could get a Pokestop submitted at home, which is like a personal Pokestop that only you have access to, I think that would start to really chip into, the item shortage that I'm sure a lot of trainers are having. You had an interesting suggestion too.
Yeah, I had thought about, you know, when you feed your buddy and it comes out onto the map, once you get it to a certain level, I believe it's good buddy, maybe, when it starts to go find souvenirs or items for you. Right now, some of those are, you know, berries or balls, things like that. So maybe making it to where instead of it bringing me back a snowy pine cone, it brings me back 10 Pokeballs or something like that.
That is funny, right?
I love the souvenirs. I get it. I enjoy the buddy system. But at the same time, you know your audience, know your situation. So if you want people to interact with their buddy during this time, I think that's a good way to kind of increase that participation and give people incentive to continue to use the buddy system. And you know, some people use the buddy system as, you know, if they're locked down. I know our friend Nick, Trainer Tips, who does videos on YouTube, you know, he enjoys taking his buddy out, his shiny Sandshrew. Right now, I think it's a Dialga because he's getting prepped for Master League GBL. But anyways, he likes to take out his buddy, and that kind of gives him something to do and, you know, makes somebody smile. You know, there's plenty of people that are at home. They're by themselves. So, you know, anything like that that would help just encourage people, I think could be very helpful. And I think that could be an addition to the game, period. I mean, like I said, I like the souvenirs. I like the idea of collecting the different souvenirs, but having the ability to send them out to either get souvenirs or get items from the nearest Pokestop or something like that, I think could be a good quality of life update to the game.
Yeah. I got all excited because my buddy picked up an item while I was, you know, working, and then I looked at my phone for a second. And I saw that it had brought something back. And I was like, oh, cool. And then it was a ticket. I said, what? I got really excited because I'd never gotten anything useful out of the snowy pine cone, the small bouquet, and the cactus fruit. Now I was getting some kind of event ticket. Well, it just turns out that's all it is a torn, used ticket that is completely useless.
Oh, somebody dropped it at GoFest. Well, yeah. They probably dropped it after they found out Safari Zone St. Louis was canceled. So,
speaking of which, have you canceled your Safari Zone ticket, or did you keep it?
I canceled my travel, but not only did I keep my St. Louis ticket, I bought a Liverpool ticket as well, and I had already bought a Philadelphia ticket because I was planning on going there. I wasn't sure about Liverpool. I was waiting to see what travel looked like, but now I have all three, so I will probably be playing Safari Zone Alabama for all three of those events, it looks like.
That sounds like a blog post, you know, Safari Zone Alabama.
Well, you know, we only have two Pokestops here, you know, it's all just back roads.
Oh, wow, that much, huh?
Yeah,
wow.
Two. We had one added, you know, and it took forever on Wayfair because everything kept getting rejected because nobody can spell.
Yeah. Well, I imagine the reviewers themselves can't read, so that's also a problem.
Oh, man. So what are you, I mean, did you keep your ticket? Are you going to play this weekend?
I did. I actually did the exact same thing as you. I ended up buying tickets of events that I didn't really plan on going. I'm sure a lot of people are on the same boat, knowing that they were going to be canceled. This weekend, we'll be able to get those spawns from the Safari Zone, which I am actually bummed that it did get canceled because we had a whole battle tower planned there to do a stream on Ghost Stadium. And that was all sort of ironed out, ready to go. And then, of course, COVID-19 had to be super effective and just, you know, broke all of our shields.
Well, and I want to just say I was really deeply involved in the behind the scenes of getting that stuff ready. And Cody, KLTD, and the St. Louis community out there, those guys, I mean, they were just on top of it. They were planning everything out to a T. It was going to be a very, very fantastic event. And I just hate that it had to happen that way. But and the same with Philadelphia. I know we'll probably talk about that in the future as we come closer to it. But I know these community organizers. See, there's that Alabama coming out. I can't talk right. These community organizers do so much. To see their hard work kind of get pushed to the side, I know it's frustrating. So I just wanted to say thank you to especially Cody and his team out there in St. Louis. They did a really good job planning that out and getting it ready. We were all really, really excited to come out and see St. Louis and really put on a good show for everyone so that everyone could have fun. But, you know, things happen. We're doing this for the greater good. Staying at home, social distancing to try and flatten the curve. But, you know, this weekend, if you're fortunate enough to be able to play, what type of thing should we be looking for, AJ?
Well, a lot of people are going to be excited for their potential Dex entry in Chatot. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's a level 35 plus. This is going to take right around that level, maybe 37, depending on what IVs you get. Normal flying with Steel Wing, Peck, Nightshade, Sky Attack, and Heat Wave. It's not that impressive of a moveset, especially when you compare it to Noctowl. It actually gets worse because its stats, it ends up being a lot more attack weighted than Noctowl, right? Noctowl, yeah. Not super fair since it's one of the bulkier Pokemon that's in the game. Chatot's bulk is quite similar to Toxicroak or Alolan Raichu. So, you know, again, other than someone like Jim Corn who likes to max out stuff that isn't that useful, just to, you know, get that one video of him winning, I don't see Chatot making very many ripples in your Go Battle League or Great League, unless there's a meta in Sylph where normal flying is overpowered and Chatot's one of the only one that's allowed.
Yeah.
I just don't see it being that great.
That's just a terrible moveset. Steel Wing and Peck are just horrible fast moves, to be honest. Nightshade and Heat Wave just really don't have good use. Sky Attack's really good, but, I mean, Steel Wing and Peck, golly.
Yeah. Nightshade is so bad that on Noctowl, over and over, we saw that unless Sky Attack was resisted and Nightshade was super effective, do Sky Attack.
Yeah.
So if it was something like a Steel type that wasn't Psychic, for example, you would rather do Sky Attack even though it's resisted than Nightshade, which would be unresisted because they did about the same amount of damage, but Nightshade was more energy. So that's how bad of a move Nightshade is. It's really just for like two matchups, and one of them was like Bronzong back in, I forget what meta that was, but it was specifically for the Noctowl versus Bronzong. But anyway, Chatot, not so great. Ferroseed is the one that's going to be interesting. I think people might want to hoard their Ferroseeds. We've just gotten through Mankey. There's a lot of Mankey spawning all over the place not too long ago, but it is another chance to get a shiny Mankey. And for those that want another unknown, or maybe it's their first unknown S, that's also going to be available.
Yeah. I've got the unknown S. I've got some Ferroseeds, but I still don't have one for a good Ferrothorn for PvP, which I do want because it does have a very interesting moveset and typing for that matter. And then I still don't have shiny Mankey, so of course I'd like to get one of those.
Yeah. Ferrothorn is actually really interesting. With Bullet Seed and Metal Claw, it's a bit held back, but it's got a myriad of interesting coverage moves, and it's not very much used, so people generally don't know what's coming out of it. Acid Spray, Flash Cannon, Mirror Shot, Power Whip, and Thunder, and it's got that grass steel typing, which isn't all that common either. So it could see some play definitely in some Sylph Cups, but potentially in a, in a Go Battle League comp that you're really trying to compensate for.
Oh, I got absolutely wrecked by a team with Ferrothorn on it.
Oh, yeah? What else was on the team? Do you even remember?
No, I mean, it was a while back, but I just remember the Ferrothorn just, I want to say it was mirror shot, correct me if I'm wrong, but it just mirror shotted me over and over and over and over. Yeah. And it was very frustrating. It reminded me of Magnezone. I tried to use Magnezone in Ultra League a little bit, and I may try that again because Magnezone just comes out so quickly with the Spark fast move, and then it has the 30% chance for attack debuff on your opponent. So it's a really interesting move. I think Fortress has access to it too.
It does, yeah.
And I've seen that a couple times in GBL, but I haven't lost to the Fortress. I've lost to the Ferrothorn, though, because I think I got Acid Sprayed. They were running double debuff moves.
Yeah, Mirror Shot, it's on the lower side of the energy requirement. 35 energy and 35 damage, so it's just one DP, but it's got that 30% chance of a single stage attack debuff on your opponent. So that's useful, you know?
Yep. Well, just remember when you play this weekend, make sure you keep your distance. No groups should be gathering. Please be safe. Be cognizant of your surroundings. We all want to have fun, but let's do it the right way and be safe. What else do you want to talk about? I'm getting sick of listening to you.
Underway at the time of this recording is we're right in the middle of Battle for the World, right?
What is that?
That is actually something you came up with.
Oh, I came up with that?
Yeah, it was your idea, and then you dropped the mic, walked away, and let all the other useful tournament managers handle it. So that's my job.
I'm supposed to come up with these big ideas and then let you guys execute them, right?
Well, not me. I'm neither the person with the ideas nor the person executing them. I'm just the person criticizing all of it. So
in all seriousness, we have a fantastic team at Stadium, tournament managers and moderators and staff that have really done a fantastic job making this kind of idea come to fruition. So
except Noah.
Well, yeah, except Noah. Everybody hates Noah. But
So how did it come about?
So, you know, we were all shocked when Niantic they have been listening a lot lately. So I was still a little bit shocked that they lowered the friendship requirement for battles. And immediately I thought, what is the absolute biggest thing that we can do with this? So, you know, a lot of discords and communities, Pogo Coliseum and some of the different ones that are out there that kind of do remote tournaments, started doing some emergency 7-rounders. Sylph kind of had to put some gates in place so that they could keep their infrastructure working properly. They did the right thing and limited the remote tournaments to 128 people per tournament. You know, no limit on the number of tournaments that you could do, but just a limit on the participants. And it's really mainly because not a lot of people have the experience that the Stadium team has in performing these remote style tournaments. We've been doing it for over a year now. We've learned a lot. We still learn new things every day. But I had the idea of, let's try and structure this where literally everyone in the world can participate if they want to. And then at the same time, understanding our situation and figuring out a way that we can give back to the community and to even people who don't play Pokemon Go, going through this virus and how it's affecting everyone, whether they're sick or not, it's affecting everyone. I wanted to be able to have a way that we could utilize this. What we thought was going to be 30 days turns out they're letting us do this until the end of April. But we wanted to have this sort of series of tournaments where we could lead up to an epic finish of finding out, you know, who can be the best in the world right now. You know, not trying to mimic Sylph or anything like that. This is strictly for you know, hey, who wants to get involved? Let's give everybody an opportunity, because there's a lot of new players that have just recently started getting into PvP because of GBL, Go Battle League, being introduced into the game. And so we wanted to give that opportunity for people to sign up and participate and have a way to advance into phase one, phase two, and phase three. So we recently completed phase one. We had 16 people that immediately, they won out their tournaments. They either swept it or they tied, and then they won their playoff matches. And so they've gotten a bye directly to phase three. And then we also have basically the top portion of each of those tournaments, a certain number of wins. I don't know all the ins and outs. Our head of tournaments, Torpedo Runner, managed all of that and made it work where it was fair, so that those top cut players could move on to phase two, which is going to be Open Great League. And that's actually going to happen this weekend. So if you're listening to this and you haven't picked your day and your time slot for your semifinal or phase two tournament, make sure you get in the Discord, invite.gg/GoStadium, and select your time slot for that. And then the winners of that will go on to phase three, and we will have a final 128-person tournament to determine the champion for Battle for the World. And the top eight in that tournament will receive a cash prize payout. The prize pool is $1,000. Top place will get 40%, 20% for second place. Third and fourth will get 10%, I believe. And then it goes down from there. I have all the numbers listed out. Our friends over at G2G.media did a fantastic article on that, and they did a fantastic article on phase one results as well, spotlighting those trainers. So go check those guys out. We'll link that in the show notes as well, so that you can check them out and check out that article. And it'll also have details about how you can get involved in both participating if you signed up and were a part of phase one and have advanced to phase two, or how you can watch phase three, because we will be streaming that live on Twitch. We may not have all the matchups, but we will have some of the matchups, and really see who can walk away with that and just, you know, be able to utilize that platform to raise money for charity. So everything that we earn from that, whether it be bits, subscriptions, donations, anything at all, it's all going directly to charity through that. And the prize pool going to the competitors to kind of help them, you know, and reward them for their hard work in battling. So
very nice. Anybody that either missed the window and wants to hear about potentially upcoming tournaments, or just where the current status is of Battle for the World as it is now, what's the best way they could hear about it?
Definitely get in our Discord. So invite.gg/GoStadium. But also check out our friends over at G2G.media. They always put out fantastic articles about some of the things that we're doing. We work closely with them. We really believe in their passion and their message of, you know, working better together. We can do more together. So we really appreciate them and the work that they do. And they will be putting out an article on this podcast as well. So, you know, definitely check them out. And then we may have our own new website coming soon, where you can find some more information there. But we'll talk about that later.
Fair enough.
Did you know? Did you know we have a sponsor for this episode?
I believe we have a goof to share.
I don't know what you're talking about. That we had an actual sponsor contact us that said we have just got to get in on this StadiumCast reboot. We really, really need some ad space. Can you please fit us in? They sent me the copy, and you know, I read what they wanted me to read, so. We'll let you guys listen to that. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back. After we come back, we'll talk about Ultra League and the Voyager Cup. We'll be right back. This week's episode is brought to you by Podcast for Dummies. Are you too stupid to figure out how to plug in a USB microphone and record your voice? Do you have trouble simply connecting to the internet? Is your name AJ? And are you a butt? Then this book might be for you. More people than ever are turning to podcasts for on-demand, mobile entertainment, and information. Podcasting for Dummies offers a fast and easy way to get the know-how you need to produce and distribute one of your very own. Written by a pair of podcasting pioneers, this book shares insight on the technology behind recording, editing, and sharing podcasts, along with tips and tricks on how to produce a pro-level podcast. You can find this book online at Amazon.com, where a warehouse full of workers will rush that book to you while they pee on themselves because they only get one bathroom break per shift. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/ghoststadium. You can leave us a review on your podcast service of choice, or you can just keep listening to us blather on about PvP and argue with each other. Thank you for stepping into the stadium, and let's get back to the show. I mean, wasn't that just, I can't believe we got a sponsor on our first episode. Can you believe that?
I'll say that I think it was a missed opportunity to not have me listen to that for the first time while we're recording. In the future, roasting me, I think it should be done without a live prior consent. Or yeah, absolutely. Because that was ridiculous. That was really hats off. I know of at least a couple people that is going to warm their heart and make their day. So.
Oh, man. So anyways, we like to have fun. So let's talk about Ultra League. It's right around the corner.
Yeah. Friday, March 27th at 3 p.m. Central. That's Central Daylight Savings Time.
Oh, for gosh.
You, John. I know that's is a confusing subject for you. Central Time.
Yes.
We'll have the rotation go from Great League to Ultra League in Go Battle League. As the leagues move on further, the metas, I believe, get more and more condensed. And at the top of the food chain for this meta, it's basically Giratina Altered, Registeel, and a Flex. And the only reason Registeel hasn't been front and center of most teams, I really think it's just as out of budget considerations. It has to be level 40. It prefers to be best buddy and, obviously close as possible to those perfect IVs.
Yeah, the best I have is a 98 and it's 14 attack. And I'm just not going to invest the dust in something until I get a perfect. Or a lucky.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, right? The most important IV stat on Registeel in Ultra League is probably going to be the attack.
Yep.
As long as it's within reason, the defense and the HP won't matter so much. Because when you're stuck in the mirror match, you want to be the person to get charge move priority.
Yeah.
You don't want your IVs to be hampered. And it's such a massive investment. I mean, Registeel Candy, when it was out in raids, was at a time where basically nobody was doing those raids with much intensity, right?
I mean, I compare it to Melmetal, but like Melmetal Candy is, I mean, Meltan Candy is so easy to come by now that so many people have switches and so many people have, I have my own copy. You can get a box, every week. They're spawning more often out of the mystery boxes. And I got so mad in Master League of getting just wrecked by Melmetal. I was like, okay, I have to make one. So I found the next person that I had a lucky trade with, lucky traded with them. It turned out to be 15, 13, 15, maxed it out, double moved it, and still was just, an exorbitant amount of Stardust and candy that I had to put into it. And I started to do it for the Registeel, but I was just like 14, 15, 15. That's going to be a big no.
Yeah. Luckily, I have a 15, 15, 14 Melmetal. I mean, Registeel. And
I saw your buddy.
Within the next day or two, it will be at Best Buddies. So I'm really excited for that. Just barely have enough candy to pull the trigger on that. So I'll be able to use a real team for Ultra League and not tank my MMR by like 1,000 points. Like I did last time. Last time I was running Gyarados, Swampert, and Snorlax, all with just the trashiest IVs you can imagine. But it's been a slow grind, but now I'm going to be able to rock that Regitina that's been so popular in the past.
Now, one I am liking that I see on the good options list that we have that we're going to talk about is Shiftry. And I do have 100%. It's not maxed out currently, but it's already at 2,100. So I know it'll still take a good amount of Stardust to put into it, but I've got a little bit to put into it. And so what do you think about Shiftry? I know we've seen a lot more since Caleb Pang featured it on some of his videos on his YouTube. Make sure you check his YouTube out. He's also one of our coaches. But he made the really popular line of Skarmory, Meganium, and Shiftry. But what do you think of Shiftry in the Ultra League meta?
Shiftry is very interesting. It serves as a tech with dark coverage resisting Ghost, which is very nice against the Shadowclaw Giratina. And its energy gain is absolutely insane for Leaf Blade, and Foul Play isn't that far behind either. What you can imagine Shiftry does in Great League is very glassy, but in Ultra League, because it's maxed out, it ends up being okay as far as bulk is concerned. It can actually tank hits like Swampert, similar to Swampert. The way that stats compound as they go up into the upper levels of CP, it's very, very interesting. Swampert is a very popular pick in Ultra League. I'd argue one of the most top three or five. It's actually more popular than Registeel just because it's so easily available. And obviously, Leaf Blade doing double super effective with Stab against Swampert is really nice, and serving as a good, decent check to Giratina.
Yeah, I actually did pretty well in Ultra League, actually better than I did in Great League, actually, because Great League I like to play around and use different stuff. I don't really get real serious about it too much, but Ultra League I didn't really have that many options to choose from, even if I wanted to get a little crazy, a little spicy. So my go-to team was Giratina, Swampert, and Alolan Muk.
Alolan Muk is another one of very interesting safe switches for the most part.
Yeah.
Dark Pulse and Sludge Wave is pretty decent, and it charges up super fast with Snarl, right? Some people were running Gunk Shot just for the memes. Sludge Wave gets there a little bit quicker, although there is an argument to be made for Gunk Shot since it's just going to hit that much harder.
Yeah, I found that I actually did run Gunk Shot just because I was running into a lot of Poliwraths, and Gunk Shot can OCO a Poliwrath after you've put about maybe 10 to 20% damage on it, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert, so don't quote me on that. But anyways, I actually preferred the Gunk Shot on there just for that reason, because Sludge Wave just didn't do as much. It wasn't a literal trash can full of sludge, so to speak. So, but I eventually got past the Poliwrath and started running into another one that I hated, and I blame King, aka Wong, for Articuno.
Yeah, now Articuno is very interesting. Icy Wind is super annoying to deal with, because even if, so suppose you're matched up, pretty basic matchup would be Articuno in the lead against your Giratina.
Yeah.
You could try to get to the Ancient Power, but he's going to get to the Icy Wind faster. And he's just going to shield the Ancient Power more likely than not. And so, you know, you get in a situation where you have to switch out of that matchup more likely than not. And then as you switch your next Pokemon in, they can Icy Wind debuff and then switch out to the next one. So
Yeah, anyway. It was even worse for me because I ran Dragon Breath on Altered Giratina just for the mirror and extra pressure on some of the other flex picks. But
I actually do like Dragon Breath. I'm siding more towards that. The energy gain on Shadow Claw is very nice, but I think Dragon Breath is the way to go for the mirror, the potential Giratina origin.
Yeah.
Obviously, Snorlax is a super popular counter choice, and then Swampert too has been used as a check to Giratina. So the Dragon Breath variant, not such a great day for Swampert.
So I know people have gotten a little upset. Not upset. It's more the hardcore players that just the monotonous blind threes is getting a little monotonous. The same things over and over and over. Is it going to be any different in Ultra League, or are we going to see the same teams over and over?
I think it's actually going to – I think as players are going to be able to invest more and more into their top teams, the metas are going to condense further. But some of the hardcore players like Caleb, for example, you might actually see their Ultra League library extend further and further. Ultra League, thanks to the 2,500 CP cap, there's a decent amount of variability across the teams that you can make. And there's some room for spice if you're willing to invest serious amounts of dust. Just to name a few, Cresselia is a really interesting bulky choice for Ultra League. Armored Mewtwo now with having, I believe it has a, was it Psystrike that it learned now?
Yeah, so is that new to being more of an option now because of Psystrike?
Yeah, Psystrike being a stab, very good move for Mewtwo, allows it to pick up some matchups that before it kind of struggled with. It is an interesting choice. It is also a big legendary investment too. So Dragonite, I'm sure a lot of people were using Dragonite just out of necessity, but still viable. Same with Snorlax. And we saw a lot of Venusaur last time. Yeah. I think we'll see it less and less as Registeel becomes somewhat more common. We talked about Articuno. A lot of people sleep on Lapras. I haven't seen that much Lapras just because it has to get to the upper 30s, I believe, just to get to the 2,500 CP sweet spot. But very bulky. Stab, Ice Beam, and Ice Shard is really good against Giratina. And then it can use Surf, or if you're feeling frisky, I suppose you could also put in a Skull Bash just for the memes there.
Yeah.
Poliwrath and the Charmers and, of course, Shiftry are all very viable options. I think as Ultra League becomes more and more studied, there will be more room for some spice picks, but nowhere near as much variety as Great League.
Yeah. I mean, I did use, like I said, Swampert, Giratina, and Alolan Muk as my sort of go-to team, but I really do enjoy playing with Poliwrath. Just the spammability of those moves with Mudshot. I ran Mudshot, Ice Punch, Dynamic Punch. And it's just, you would not believe how many times people thought I was going to throw an Ice Punch and I already had a Dynamic Punch, or that I had two Ice Punches and they thought they could tank one and shield the next one, or, you know, shield the first one and I wouldn't get to another one. And I did. So, and it won me a couple matches, especially up against the Giratinas. So,
yeah, Poliwrath is very nice. I think the blessing and curse of Poliwrath is Mudshot, basically doing no damage. And sometimes you really do want to pick up some of that fighting type damage against things like Snorlax.
Yeah.
So it doesn't do as well as like Machamp, for example, against Snorlax. But still, it charges up to the Dynamic Punch very quickly. And so it's similar to Shiftry in some ways, just because it has those hard-hitting charge moves, or, you know, in Dynamic Punch at least.
So as we kind of make this segue from Great League to Ultra League, is there anything you think, I don't know that they can do it in Season 1, but what would your advice to Niantic be after we've kind of, you know, we're kind of at the tail end of Season 1 Great League? What would you say is your feedback to Niantic?
So I think a lot of people, you've seen it, suggested before, they asked for declared six, and Niantic has toyed up with that idea I believe they had an office tournament where they showed six and used three in their battles. That's fine. But I also think it cuts against the sort of format of doing these quick battles and moving along with your day that Go Battle League presents. So we developed a format on Go Stadium for Great League called Cliffhanger, where it's 17 points, four different tiers, tier 0, 1, or I guess it would be tier 0, 1, 2, 3, and then anything else. So it ends up being five tiers. So the points are allocated so that you cannot use things like Azumarill and Registeel in the same team of six. I think if they implemented some way of a tiered system where you would break apart those cores based on usage, which is all data they have.
Yeah.
For example, something like a Registeel, maybe you would only have 9 points allocated for your team of three, and a Registeel would cost 6 points. Well, Giratina is also 6 points, so you wouldn't be able to put that in your same team. So you'd have to make adjustments to your team moving down the line. So something like that, where you wouldn't have to wait for your opponent to look at your six and then, you know, choosing the three out of those, and then you're waiting and then maybe the connection drops. I think it might be a little bit more favorable to the Go Battle League format. Nothing wrong with the Claire six. I think it's great for tournaments and the like, but I don't know. That is sort of my suggestion. I think a sort of a tiered system would work really well for Go Battle League.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the speed, and I think that's definitely what they were aiming for with Go Battle League, of being able to just open up the game, go in and battle within, you know, a matter of seconds. You're able to battle someone. But I still do think there's got to be something done about breaking up the monotony of the same old over and over.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, different moves, implementing some sort of ban system or point system, kind of like we developed with Cliffhanger, something like that. You know, I think that's one of the major issues. The other major issue is obviously still server latency and lag. You know, I think they're working on it. I know it's very, very frustrating. I get frustrated myself sometimes. But I think they're using this, even though it is a declared season, I think they're still testing this to see what they really need from a hardware and technical perspective to really make this run. We do know we have seen, or at least we have seen some, you know, talks of them working directly with Play Pokemon. If you don't know, Play Pokemon is the sort of branch of the Pokemon company that handles their competitive events and their competitive structure for VGC, video game, trading card, Pokken. And we've already seen talk with Niantic and Pokemon Go to kind of bring that in. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of structure they want to put in for, you know, TPC or the Pokemon Company sanctioned Pokemon Go tournaments and how that will work in the future. You know, they've had side events. You know, me and you went to World Championships in D.C. last year, and they had the little side events where you could sign up and do kind of ad hoc Pokemon Go tournaments, but it was still not really defined. It was all, you know, just kind of managed. You know, here's a quick rule set, open Great League. You know, they did show six, pick three style, but it was not really formalized. So I think there's definitely some work to be done, but I think we can still be somewhat patient. They are, you know, putting a lot of work into it. We can see that, but that's still not going to make me not get mad at lag. I'm still going to get mad regardless.
I think GBL has just a ton of potential, but it's not that end game. It's not a substitute to these sort of more tournament formalized formats. And I just think people would be really bummed out if they put in all these resources into a Registeel and then suddenly something more on the lazy side, like a blanket ban on legendaries or anything above a certain usage rate, is no longer allowed.
Yeah.
That would be a very frustrating experience for trainers that have invested all these resources. But Speaking of formalized tournament formats, we do have a new Sylph Cup, a new Sylph theme starting on April 1st, right?
I really love this cup.
You do?
I have to say, I really, really like it. It's very, not taking anything away from Sylph, but it's very cliffhanger-esque in the styling, and I really, really think they put a lot of work into it, and I like it. I like the style.
So the Sylph Arena Voyager Cup is April 1st through the 30th. Practice cups are available now, so you can host your remote tournaments with your friends, practice that social distancing, and practice this new meta. No bans. So this is a first Arena Cup where everything is eligible. It's actually the first Arena Cup where Mew is eligible. You have to choose one Pokemon from the Kanto region, one from the Johto region, one from Hoenn, one from Sinnoh, one from either Unova, Alolan, or Galar, and then one wild card that is not on the restricted list. This is going to be a mouthful, but the restricted list for reference is Ivysaur, Venusaur, Hypno, Lapras, Dewgong, Wigglytuff, Mew, Azumarill, Skarmory, Umbreon, Registeel, Altaria, Defense Form, Deoxys, Swampert, Tropius, Medicham, Gardevoir, Whiscash, Bastiodon, Probopass, Cresselia, Togekiss, Zweilous, Scrafty, Melmetal, Alolan Marowak, Jellicent, and Mandibuzz.
I didn't hear that. Can you repeat that, please?
I will not. You can go and listen to the recording. So any of those picks cannot be in the wild card slot. However, the shadow forms of these Pokemon are also restricted to the choose one of each region. I think most people at a glance will agree that this will be mirroring Go Battle League, in that Azumarill and Registeel will be a front and center at this meta. And
oh, absolutely.
Your team will basically hinge on how to beat it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What's your favorite Azu Regi core breaker?
I really like Meganium. Meganium is very powerful counter to Azumarill, and it is a bait-dependent win against Registeel, but if you play your cards right, you can definitely end up having a lead energy advantage against Registeel in many situations. That's the Caleb Pang team, which is that Skarmory lead with Shiftry and Meganium in the back. That double grass was very powerful against, for example, a Registeel lead. You'd switch in your Shiftry, hope they don't have like a Toxicroak or something, and it acted as a safe switch, right?
Yeah.
So grass types in general with neutral coverage moves against Registeel do okay. At least some of them do. And I really like Haunter. Haunter is going to be very powerful in this meta, especially given the fact that Umbreon is in the same generation as Azumarill. And it's going to be really a tough sell for someone to pass up on Azumarill in their restricted pick and go for Umbreon instead.
I personally like Alolan Raichu over Meganium just for the spam ability and also being able to hit back against the Flyers, where Meganium just walls, you know, gets walled by, you know, any sort of Flyer. And I actually like they call it the arrow move set of Volt Switch, Thunder Punch, and Psychic. You would be surprised how many people do not shield a Psychic, and it does just about as much damage with Stab as a Grass Knot from an Alolan Raichu against an Azumarill. And then the Psychic can hit back, you know, if you run into a Venusaur, they're not expecting it. I mean, it can OKO a Venusaur. The Thunder Punches and Volt Switches, you know, coming out so quickly against a Registeel really add up over time. And if you have shield advantage, you can easily win that matchup.
Yeah, Alolan Raichu is one of those Pokemon that I've just been hoarding a bunch of them. I think I have at least three or four ready to go with different movesets, and probably more on the way, just because it's really cheap and I'd rather not be investing in the charge move roulette just to get the right charge moves for a given tournament. So,
oh, I don't yeah. even care. I refuse to use any other one but my shiny. I finally got my shiny, and that is Bay, and I will use it forever.
The chocolate mouse.
The chocolate mouse, yes.
Yeah, Alolan Raichu is a really cool shiny for sure, and it's probably going to be fairly popular. I mean, there are some very decent picks in that category of Alolan, Unova, and Galar, but it's also not banned, so it's not in the restricted list, right. So it could also be in the wild card. So you're not really sacrificing that much from picking an Alolan Raichu.
Yeah, I feel like if people want to fill that Alolan slot with Alolan Marowak, I think Achu as the wild card is a pretty easy addition in the wild card slot. But it's all going to be dependent on what you choose and how you structure your team around these different regions and what Pokemon are eligible for those regions. So what do you think is a definite no for Voyager Cup that you won't see a lot of?
Yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen. And any of these, I imagine they're going to be chosen on some successful teams just because people are going to be less likely to be worried about them. But just looking at the obvious choices of what are the really powerful choices like Azumarill and Registeel, I think Skarmory is going to be less likely, generally speaking, because those two are going to be so front and center, and yeah. Skarmory shares generation with Azumarill. For the same reason, Umbreon is going to suffer in usage. And then Altaria, Swampert, and Whiscash is going to be also a rough sell over something like Registeel, yeah. which has much more unique coverage. As far as Mudboys go, potentially Marsh Tomp as an unrestricted wildcard pick might be interesting. Outside of that, I just don't see very much Mudboy in this meta. But it's entirely possible that someone chooses a Swampert for that exact reason. So it'll remain to be seen how people adapt to that.
I always forget that Marsh Tomp can learn Sludge, and someone was using it in GBL the other day and hit my Azumarill with Sludge, and I was a little bit shocked. I still won that match, but it was a little shocking. I, of course, used my Shield the second Sludge that came out, but anyways, it does have an interesting move set with Mudshot Surf, Mud Bomb, and Sludge as its capable charge move. So,
yeah. Don't sleep on Return. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But I mean, I guess it could run Return, but generally the other moves are just so much better. So, Sludge isn't great, but it is there for that Azumarill or grass coverage.
Yeah. And so what's important to remember, though, is we are going to see some Voyager Cup action very soon, because Phase 3 of Battle for the World is the Silph Arena Voyager Cup format. We've also got, you know, Silph Arena Regionals that are still going to be going on in remote format. And I'll go ahead and put this out there. Any communities that, you know, want some advisement or maybe just have some questions or need some help on, you know, how to structure a remote tournament, you know, you got to do your regionals remote during this time, you know, feel free to reach out to us on social media or in the Discord, and we'll be glad to help you guys out with any of that. But I'm very excited to see some of the teams, not only in regionals, but also just in Battle for the World, Voyager Cup, the finals, and see who can take home some money, so. You got anything else you need to say? Any smart remarks or quips?
No, nothing smart. I normally have smart things to say, but I think pretty much exhausted list. How about on your end? Any big things coming up that we should be checking your socials for?
Not that I am aware of. You know, I always come up, you know, who knows? Tomorrow I come up with this big idea and I'll just throw it on everybody's plate and make y'all execute it, you know, just like Battle for the World, but.
Yeah, kind of like we'll just yelling grenade, throwing it in, and then leaving the room.
Here you go, guys. Make it work. Yeah. We got to do it. Build the community. We got to do it.
Yeah. Then you see Tristan falling on the grenade, and I just hide in the closet somewhere. And
he's such a saint.
Yeah,
he does so much, and yet nobody cares.
Nobody cares, especially not us. All right, y'all, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
All right, guys.